Well, as you all know, Pamela and I went to Johnstown for her surgery that happened on Friday morning. And so we left a day early to travel up to Johnstown to get a hotel room, knowing that her surgery was going to be early on Friday morning. And as far as I know, it was my first visit to the area, unless we were up there when I was a young child and just have no recollection. But so we took the opportunity on Thursday afternoon after checking into the hotel to go down the street just a couple of blocks away was the Johnstown Flood Museum. And while I knew some of the particulars about the flood, we were able to go through this wonderful exhibit and to see a film and to learn about the disaster that befell that city. It was on March the 31st of 1889. And we learned that as that South Fork Dam, 14 miles up the Little Conemaugh River, burst forth after over eight inches of rain in a couple of day period, the integrity of the dam having been compromised through neglect and through some other modifications to the dam. But within about an hour's time, when that dam burst forth and some 20 billion tons of water cascaded forth down that valley, reaching the town of Johnstown, actually a city at that time of about 30,000 people, within just a little less than an hour, some 2,200 people, 2,209 people to be exact, perished within that flood, wiping out nearly the entire section of downtown Johnstown. And we learned that 99 families were completely wiped out. 99 families, over 120 families had lost at least one member. And there was one man who lost his father, his wife, and all eight of his children, this only sole survivor. And it's unimaginable, this destruction, this death that occurred in such a short, sweeping period of time. It was a disaster in American history that would not be rivaled until 9/11, some 100 years or over 100 years later. But as I contemplated this flood of death and destruction, I realized that the people of Johnstown, and the other part of the story is that in their resilience, these waters of death were transformed into a people who overcame, who out of those waters, out of the waters of death and destruction came the remarkable rebuilding of the city in an unimaginable period of time. And as I contemplated this renaissance, this renewal of the city that came out of the waters, as we continue in this season of the theophany, or the epiphany of our Lord, the God's self-disclosure in the person of Jesus Christ. And today, specifically within the Western Rite of Holy Orthodoxy, in really contemplating and focusing upon the baptism of our Lord, I'm reminded, and we should be reminded, of what God has brought out of the waters, out of the waters of baptism. For out of the waters is not death. It is not destruction and annihilation. It is not sickness and disease that these people of Johnstown over 125 years ago endured. But out of the waters of the deep, out of the waters of chaos, came the mysterious and regenerating powers of God for his people. For you see, our patron saint, St. John the Baptist, was called to special ministry there and along the waters of the Jordan. And while the waters of the Jordan is a rather comparatively small body of water, it was a significant body of water because it was there in the wilderness along the Jordan that St. John the Baptist was conducting his ministry, a ministry of baptism. But all this really was just an antitype, something which prefigured his ultimate ministry of bringing Jesus down to the waters of baptism. And even though John, this monastic of the desert, was reluctant to baptize his cousin, knowing that he was the Messiah, knowing that he was our Lord, he nonetheless submitted to Jesus. And so Jesus, going down into the waters, submitted himself to John to be baptized. And Jesus, going beneath, being plunged beneath the waters of the Jordan, rose up out of the waters. And out of the waters there was a theophany. That is a revelation of God. And for Orthodox Christians, it is a particular revelation in that we see the essence, the fullness of the Trinity, the Blessed Trinity. For in the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, coming out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit, the third person, in the form of a dove, visibly alighted himself, descended and alighted himself upon the Lord. And from the heavens came the voice of the Father, the first person of the Trinity, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Out of the waters came an explosive self-revelation of God. It opened up a portal to all of humanity, for all of Israel that had awaited the coming of Messiah, for all of God's people that had awaited a way back into paradise after centuries of exile. Out of the waters came the way back. Jesus didn't need a ritualistic cleansing, for he was the Son of God. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But being plunged beneath the waters of the Jordan, Jesus sanctified the waters. And it is through the sanctification of those waters of baptism that we today have access to the God of our salvation. For in our baptism, in our being plunged beneath the waters of baptism, we are raised up in newness of life. We are raised up in remission of sins. The image of God that was marred at the fall being restored within us. And we have been given new life in him. Out of the waters of baptism, we have been called to a new life. St. Peter, in his first epistle, writes this, beginning in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 18 to verse 22. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the saints in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." You see, St. Peter understood what was happening in the waters of baptism. He even recognized that the theophanies of God that occurred in the Old Covenant, and if you were here for Matins, you heard the readings that were all readings of theophany, the Moses before the burning bush, and then the unveiling of Christ's glory at the Mount of Transfiguration. But St. Peter, in his epistle, also points to Noah and the ark as an antitype, as a prefigurement of what God would do through the waters. You see, it was, even though it was the waters of the deep. It was the waters of the earth that would bring God's judgment and wrath and destruction upon the earth. It was also out of the waters that God would bring about a new Genesis, a new creation, a new family of covenant, and Noah and the eight souls that were on board the ark. And we see that it is out of the waters of baptism. St. Peter is implying that it's not just eight souls. It is not just one family. It is not just one nation of Israel. But it is the new Israel. The ark of salvation, the church, the holy Orthodox faith that God has called us to. Out of the waters of baptism, out of the waters of regeneration, comes a new creation, comes a new life that you and I have been called to. And in the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit through our chrismation, we also have received the Holy Spirit and its gifts and graces for ministry and for a witness unto all the world. Out of the waters, God is revealed. And out of the waters of baptism, God continues to be revealed in concrete and tangible ways. Out of the waters, we live out our baptism, a life in Christ, ministering and making manifest the holy presence of God. We ourselves, do you understand, become a theophany. We share not only in Christ's death and resurrection through baptism, but we also share in God's glorious self-revelation. You see, the other part of the story of the Johnstown flood is in that remarkable rebuilding. And one of the people that was at the center of that was Claire Barton. Claire Barton traveling, the nurse, the nurse from the Red Cross who traveled a couple hundred miles up to that flood-ravaged city, was there within days. And Claire Barton gave 5 months of her life ministering to the people who were homeless and sick and injured. And she worked day and night for 5 months, revealing the presence of God to a people who otherwise would lay in hopelessness and despair. And in the same way, there, some 125 years later, Pam and I also had the experience of being ministered to. In arriving at Johnstown, I made just really kind of a courtesy call to my brother priest, Father Don Shadid, who's the Antiochian Orthodox pastor of St. Mary in Johnstown, just to let him know what we were up there for. And it wasn't enough just to come by and see us, but Father Don joined us for dinner with his son Thursday evening. And then after dinner, knowing that he hadn't been home with his family yet, I was trying to get him to head on home, and he said, no, I want to come up. And he said, I want to pray with Horia Pamela, and I want to anoint her with unction. I want to anoint her with a special oil of myrrh from the weeping icon of the Theotokos, of, they call it the Kardiokissa, which means the tender heart. And so he had gotten some swabs of cotton from this miraculously streaming icon of the Kardiokissa. And up in the room, he spent time anointing Pamela and praying for her and ministering to her. And as touching, as moving as that was, the next morning there at the hospital, he was back again. And even though Pamela had already gone into surgery, he sat there with me in the waiting room. And then leaving, he came back again after she was out of recovery. And before leaving, he gave her a prayer card, and once again he prayed with her and blessed me in preparation for my surgery coming up in a couple of weeks. And they're out of the waters of baptism, not just a priestly ministry, but a ministry of the people of God. It was a theophany, an epiphany of God's tender heart through the Theotokos, through the people of God, ministering to those in need. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the church is the church. And even after coming home, we continue to be ministered to. We continue to see the revelation of God out of the waters of baptism, out of the people of God. God appeared through the phone calls to myself and Pamela, through the emails, through your prayers. Our Lord showed up last night at our house with Joe and Peggy Kerr, bringing a rotisserie chicken, a delicious one at that. It came through Subdeacon Stephen and his prayers and concerns. It came through each of you who prayed, who called us, who sent words of comfort and blessing. You see, this is the life of the church. It's not just a confession of faith, but it is ministry in action. And it all flows out of the waters. Out of the waters of that rush from the side of our Lord upon the cross. Waters which were fused with his blood. For next week, as we continue in the season of Epiphany, we will see the waters being transformed into wine, and wine into the blessed, precious blood of our Christ, which brings healing, which brings salvation and eternal life. For out of the waters comes new life, comes blessing and glory for each of us. Let us live out our baptism, for we have been called out of the waters into a life hidden in Christ, into a life revealing his feet, his hands, his mouth, his ministry. Out of the waters of baptism, let us continue to reveal the salvation of our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.